Hello, welcome to JW Sideline View. It's March 5th, 2008. Really excited about my first episode. I'm here with my sister, Jin.
Hi guys, I'm excited too. This is a project we've been talking about for a long time, and I'm just really honored to be here with James for his very first episode. So James, what kind of things am I allowed to ask you about? What do you want to talk about? You know, I'm a sports fan, but not like you are.
We can talk about Bob Knight coming into town last week.
Oh, I'd love to hear about it. So Bobby Knight was in town. He spoke at a local high school in Bloomington, Indiana, not at Indiana University, but you went, and I'd love to hear some takeaways.
He told a lot of personal stories that I don't think a lot of people know about. Like, he went hunting in Russia in the 80s.
That's kind of weird. All I remember about Bob Knight in Russia in the 80s was that we walked out of a game because they weren't following the rules. It was disappointing as a teenager, I have to tell you.
I don't think Bob liked the rules either, but there was no rule against throwing a chair, so.
Oh, goodness. All right, so was the whole night about IU basketball, or were there more things about Bob Knight that you didn't know?
There were more things I didn't know. Like, he talked a lot about his Olympic experience, specifically the 1984 Olympic Games, where he coached the men's basketball team in Los Angeles, and he got to coach Michael Jordan.
Oh, that's exciting. It would be no surprise to anyone to know that Michael Jordan was probably Coach Knight's favorite player professionally to coach, or to coach on an Olympic team. But overall, did he mention like who his favorite college player was that he coached?
His favorite college player that he coached of all time would be Michael Jordan. But he also said that his favorite player to coach at IU was Calvert Chaney.
Did he say why, or
he just said Michael Jordan was the best player in professional basketball even today?
Yeah.
He doesn't really feel LeBron is better than Michael. And that's just from his experience from coaching Michael and then having seen LeBron play.
Gotcha. I'm sure he had a take on the future of IU basketball, and some Hoosier fans care, some don't. But I'm more interested, you're a lifelong Hoosier fan. What's your take on IU basketball right now?
I think it's in a good place. I think Archie Miller was a smart hire. He did some good things in Dayton, and Bob Knight was really excited about him because he brings a lot of good things to the table. He brings a good defensive scheme. He brings discipline, kind of lacking that with the last couple of years with Tom Crean. He was more of a player's coach, and we really were winning championships under a different style of leadership, and he really emphasized on, you know, I coach these kids to be, you know, to be here on time, to go to class. And he said that if you did not go to class that day, you did not practice. And that was a big incentive to go to class.
Mm-hmm. So do you feel like we're getting back to a little more traditional mechanics as far as it goes, as far as coaching a collegiate basketball team rather than individual basketball players?
Yes. And I feel like for a while there, we kind of got in a rut with just coaching individual players and specifically concentrating on like what Victor Oladipo could do or Cody Zeller, and not really bringing all of that together and what can they do collectively as a team.
Mm-hmm.
And
we're looking forward to seeing where IU basketball goes next year, because I think they're now off for the season. Potentially.
Well, the exciting news about that is they're coming back to the Midwest after spending 2 years on the East Coast for the Big Ten Conference Tournament. They're coming back to the Midwest. They'll be in Chicago next year, and then the year after that, they'll be in Indianapolis.
Wonderful. Well, I know that's big news for us because we love to watch basketball in the Midwest. And speaking of collegiate sports and the Midwest, on Sunday, Indiana became the last state to sell alcohol on Sundays, with a couple of caveats. There's certain hour restrictions and temperature restrictions, which is kind of weird. But speaking of alcohol and collegiate sports, I kind of wanted to get your take on alcohol sales at college games.
Yes, I actually went to a college game back in November. It was the Indiana-Purdue game, and that was my first time actually experiencing alcohol sales at the collegiate level, and it felt exactly like a pro game. People went up, they buy alcohol, and...
Did you see any debauchery in the stands, or was it? Did it feel uncomfortable or inappropriate?
No, it felt like you would go to a professional game and they have booze there. Like, yeah, you may see an occasional fan or two who may scream a little louder or become more obnoxious, but overall, I think it was a good experience. People were enjoying themselves more, maybe spacing their drinking out, because in college, at a lot of universities, you have to consume your alcohol before you get into the stadium, and so the mindset is, I have to get drunk right now, and it's got to last me throughout the entire game. And a lot of people kind of go overboard with that. But at Purdue, I felt like you could just pace yourself. Mm-hmm. And then if you wanted a beer, it's fine. If you didn't want one, it was fine.
Right. Did you see people staying longer at the game instead of trying to head back out to tailgate more?
Absolutely. People stayed throughout the whole game, mainly because... it got closer at the end, but definitely the alcohol is definitely a cultural tradition we do with football. And if people can consume it without having to walk outside the stadium, and it's better for the university who gets to collect all that revenue, and it's better for the fan because they don't have to leave their seat mm-hmm. and miss any of the game.
I also sort of feel like when you go to a stadium that serves alcohol, I know my consumption is a lot lower just because of the price. And so I actually feel like you're a lot less likely to binge drink or overindulge if you're purchasing at the stadium than if you're bringing your own beer on site.
Exactly, because you can buy a lot more alcohol cheaper at a liquor store than, you know, buying it $10, $12 a beer at the stadium. And yes, that definitely, your wallet curbs your drinking enthusiasm.
Now, we have a lot more to come on football and tailgating as we get a little bit closer to the spring games. I know you're going to have a special episode about that. But speaking of spring, we're almost to March Madness. Do you have any predictions? Sadly, our Hoosiers, I don't believe, will be making the NCAA tournament. But do you have any overall predictions for the tournament this year?
I like Duke. They'll be really well. They'll be really well coached, obviously, and they're always competitive. I also really like Michigan State, even though they didn't have a good showing in the Big Ten tournament. Michigan actually could go pretty far, and they just won the Big Ten tournament over Purdue, and with a pretty good win yesterday. And I don't know; it just seems like outside of the teams who should be in it, it seems like this year is kind of a question mark. It's mm-hmm. going to be a lot of It could be a lot of Cinderellas, or it could be not. But it's going to be an interesting tournament, and I think those are the best ones.
Well, speaking of tournament time, we haven't introduced on your first podcast here any really background information, but you are a combat vet. You mm-hmm. served in Iraq, and do you remember what the Hoosiers did when you were in basic training, which would have been March of 2002. I wonder if you recall that sweet 16.
We went to the national championship game and we lost to Maryland. And every day the drill sergeants would be like, does anybody want to know what happened in the tournament today? And everybody would be like, yeah. And they're like, too bad. Or if we did something really well, or if we were good that day, made our bed, they would give us a team that won, and we had to. And eventually, they told us that Indiana had gone on to the Final Four, and I was like, oh my gosh, and it figures I wasn't there for it.
Yeah, well, I was there, and I do remember trying to cut out and send you news articles as often as possible and to write the scores to you in letters, and you were certainly there in spirit, and I'm sure sorry you missed it. I know we're both hoping that someday we'll see our Hoosiers go back to that place. All right, so now back on to current sports since we've had our little flashback. Let's talk a little baseball. We've got an exciting team this year.
They're ranked in the top 25, and that's a really big deal. Since going to not only going to but actually winning back to back Big Ten titles with Kyle Schwarber, and
tell us what Kyle Schwarber's up to these days.
Kyle Schwarber lost a ridiculous amount of weight in the offseason, and he wanted to get a little faster to be in the outfield, and he thought that might help him be a better defender, because there have been some question marks about his defending capability right after his knee injury, and he lost a lot of weight, and so far it's paying off, and the Cubs are crushing it in the spring.
Spring training, it looks good. Well, go Cubbies. You know, we're a Cubs house, so that's good news on that end. Now, tell us, you've loved baseball since you were a kid. I've known you since you were born. I can remember you buying the Topps box and memorizing as many cards as you could. So you're as passionate about baseball as anybody. Tell us why it's still America's game. Why are people still so excited about baseball?
I think baseball is so exciting, and it's part of our DNA as Americans. I mean, they started playing baseball, you know, even during the Civil War, they were playing different versions of baseball, but it was still baseball. Like, you still ran to bases, you still hit a ball, and at the seventh inning, everyone comes together and sings "Take Me Out to the Ball Game," and there's just something really special about that, and hot dogs, and all of that is very American. And then it just seems like no matter what stadium you go to, what team you root for, you can always find that common ground with other fans.
I love that. It is about the fan experience in baseball so much. There's something else going on right now. The Olympics wrapped up a little over a week ago, but the Paralympics are going on right now. And tell us why you think more Americans should be watching the Paralympics.
I think more Americans should be watching the Paralympics because we have more than a dozen Paralympians who were servicemen, and the majority of them were paralyzed from IED exposure.
As were you.
Yes.
Yeah.
But I didn't lose any limbs or be paralyzed.
Yeah.
I was fortunate enough to be in a striker when it happened, and a lot of people who were paralyzed were most likely in Humvees or just on patrol.
Yeah. Well, I think that you understand the significance that being wounded and recovery has on an individual, but also as an athlete, what that does to impact your training. So we have more than a dozen athletes. And you say almost all of them were wounded by IEDs in Iraq or Afghanistan.
Yes, that's correct. There was one, I think, Air Force veteran who was paralyzed in a motorcycle accident. But the vast majority of them were wounded in combat. And I think Americans should be proud of that.
Well, I think we also overlook the fact that many service members are actually injured in accidents around the world every day, and we can't let them be forgotten. Even though they weren't hurt in combat, they still were hurt while they're serving our country. So I think that's a great salute to the men and women who've served, and I hope everybody tunes in to watch the Paralympics and all the athletes from around the world. So we're going to wrap up, I think, this episode. Episode one, your inaugural episode, your pilot, per se. I'm so proud of you for pulling this together and sharing what can...
Oh, my pleasure.
I can only describe as a unique talent for sports. It's something that you had as a little child and has carried on.
Fun fact, I played for both the Cubs and White Sox in Little League, so... There's that.
That's fantastic. Do you want to tell us a little bit about next time? I think you've got a few things that you wanted to talk about on episode two.
Yes. On episode two, I'm going to talk more about the college football spring games are coming up next month.
Will you be going to any spring games?
Yes, I'll be going to the Indiana University spring game on April 14th.
All right.
I'm very excited about the recruits we got. We'll talk about later. Also, we'll bring arena football, which is actually very popular in the South and pretty much all across the country. It's cheap. It's a lot of fun. And we'll get more into March Madness.
Oh, we're going to talk about our brackets?
Yep, that time of year again.
You know, I just am so excited about this show, and I thank everybody for tuning in. Thank you for your knowledge and your insight, and we'll see you next time.
See you next time.